This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Nope. We finished up last week, and then I'm at home this week and traveling around the district like I do when I'm home. And it's nice to be in Oregon.
So overall, how do you feel like things are going in Washington, D.C. right now?
They're a mess. I mean, it's disheartening. And the fact of the matter is that because of massive gerrymandering across the country that's being accelerated at the request of the president, we have more people that come from just very blue districts or just very red districts. And there's a disincentive for people to work together to get things done. We were able to fund, we were able to fund FEMA and, you know, everything in Homeland Security other than ICE and CBP, which I will remind you is funded through 2029. And we did that before we left, but we could have done that 60 days prior if Mike Johnson was willing to work with Democrats who were duly elected, you know, people that will come to the table. So I'm disappointed that I have a lot of colleagues who will not, they won't take their responsibility to be a separate branch of government, right? And act as a check and balance on the executive branch. That's our job. And it really seems like the leadership right now is just saying, whatever the president wants, that's what we need to do. And that's not how our system of government was set up.
What do you feel like the nation's biggest challenge is currently?
Well, as I said, we're getting more and more siloed in the information we get and politics, as we have social media algorithms that keep people outraged. But when I talk to people throughout the district, no matter where it is, it's affordability. So gas prices are going up, groceries are going up. People are really concerned about the war that was just started that doesn't seem to have any kind of end to it. But it's housing, gas. I talked to some people, some construction workers today, and they're concerned about the lack of work. And so people want to be able to feed their kids, pay their rent, put gas in their car, and that's becoming more and more difficult.
And speaking of the Iran conflict, do you see an end or a wind down to that coming soon?
Look, no, I don't. I don't know how we get out of it when, you know, the president and Pete Hegseth went in without a real plan at the behest of Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. This should have never happened. Now, let me be clear. I will not defend the Ayatollah. I will not defend a regime that murdered tens of thousands of their people. Nobody should be defending Iran. However, you cannot convince me that they were at the point that they were going to attack us with a nuclear weapon or use a nuclear weapon or had developed one. Now, we're paying them to go, you know, to use the Strait of Hormuz. We've given them more leverage and we've got nothing for it. And now we're in this war where we've spent over $50 billion. And that money should be spent right here in the United States. So I'm pushing for an end to this conflict. We're pushing with the War Powers Resolution saying Congress should have a voice. And I just put forward a bill saying that if they're going to fund this war, we need to have a full committee process where the people can see what's happening and can have their voice to weigh in, as opposed to through reconciliation, which is, you know, how the Big Beautiful Bill was done, where it's just pushed through on a partisan basis.
Now, if I'm correct, there have been some other attempts to move in this War Powers voting direction. Why do you feel like it hasn't gained traction so far?
Well, we don't have the votes yet. I do know that Republicans and Democrats are extremely concerned about the war, about the spending, about, you know, what it's going to do to our budget, on the fact that we're very likely going to put boots on the ground. And, you know, those are our kids that are filling those boots. So I don't know yet what's going to happen. I certainly hope we can come together in a bipartisan way to work with the administration to end this conflict and start spending our taxpayer dollars right here at home.
Are you also concerned about the lack of support or sort of staying out of it from a lot of our normal allies that perhaps the administration thought would jump in to help?
Look, we have alienated the allies, the strong allyship that we've built after World War II, whether that be NATO or Australia or, you know, Saudi Arabia. There are a number of countries that traditionally have said, you know, you come for one of us, you come for all of us. And, you know, we had the president make a joke to the prime minister of Japan about Pearl Harbor. That was deeply offensive. Japan holds more U.S. debt than any other country. They immediately went out and started investing their currency in other markets. This is really dangerous to our economy. And also, we want to make sure we have strong allies, you know, for when we need them. So this has been a disaster on multiple levels. And again, this isn't me defending the Iranian regime. I wouldn't, far from it. But I do not think this is in the best interest of the United States.
Let's go a different direction for your campaign with the ballots out, et cetera. How do you feel like things are going?
I think they're going really well.
What kind of reaction are you hearing from people as you've been out in the district at various points?
You know, we've knocked on a lot of doors. We're making phone calls. You know, we're getting feedback from around the community. I've spent the last 3 years going up and down the coast as this district was drawn to be two-thirds of the Oregon coast. And, you know, also throughout Lane and Benton counties. And it's the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And I think people really appreciate that. I'm not one of the flashy people, but I put my head down and I deliver for communities that need it. And regardless of whether people voted for me or not, you know, we work with constituents, whether it's getting their Social Security, their veterans benefits, working on the veterans home, infrastructure, things that aren't partisan, while also standing up for my values. I am a Democrat, and I get that not everyone is in this district. I wish we had more districts like this, where you couldn't get elected with just one party or the other, but here we are. But I feel really, really good about my chances, and we're just going to continue doing what we're doing, which is delivering for this district.
And what do you feel are the top things you've accomplished during this current term of Congress?
So in this current term of Congress, we've been working with a number of different groups and tribes on expanding good neighbor authority for forest management. with so that we can have tribal co-management of federal lands, where we had a lot of our federal workforce laid off, fired, doged. We can actually work with our communities to make sure that our forests are healthy, are managed for our future. We're preventing fires, and that our counties can also be made whole and not just have to rely on secure rural school funds, you know, with their handout. We want to make sure that they're able to get revenue from any timber harvests that happen.
And where do
you... that's number one. Number two, we just had the chief of staff of Sean Duffy, the Department of Transportation head, come down to Coos Bay last week on the Port of Coos Bay. That is moving full steam ahead. That's 6,000 jobs on the South Coast. And so I'm really happy about that. And then finally, we've gotten lots and lots of money, taxpayer dollars back to invest in infrastructure throughout the district.
And talk about that port project a bit more, because I think maybe sometimes in the Umpqua Valley, where most of our listeners are inland, people don't necessarily always realize the significance of this and what the future potential is.
I think so. We have to go back and remember that the Port of Coos Bay in the 70s, you know, sort of 40s through the 70s, was the third busiest port in the world and the largest lumber exporting port in the world. So this is a federally recognized deep channel port. And what this port would do would be to allow cargo to go straight from the port to rail. And there would be significant rail upgrades. This will make it cheaper for our exporters to get goods to market. It will make it so that we have less trucks on the road, better for the environment. And these will be 6,000 permanent jobs, not just on the South Coast, but along that rail line. And again, for our manufacturers, for our producers, for our farmers, for our ranchers, this is going to make it a whole lot easier for them to get their goods to market and cheaper. So this is a big deal. And, you know, from the administration's perspective, they want to make sure in, you know, just for national security, if something happens to the Port of Long Beach, they actually need to have another port. So it's just time that we invest in our supply chain, and the investment that comes here, all of this will be done. The work, the construction, the building will be done by Oregonians with apprenticeships. It's a very, very exciting prospect.
Now, as you look ahead, if you're given another term, are there particular areas of focus you want to work on?
Yeah, I continue to work on getting us out of the timber wars mentality of, you know, don't cut any trees or clear cut all the trees, right? We should not be having that argument. We need to prepare for a hotter and drier season. We're at 5% snowpack, so working on wildfire preparedness, working with local tribes, making sure our public lands are in trust so they don't get sold off. I don't know anyone that thinks that we should be selling off our public lands, working on the Coos Bay port, and then working in a bipartisan way on getting investments in infrastructure, still on the Transportation and Infrastructure, Natural Resources Committees, the ranking, so highest ranking Democrat on the Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries Subcommittee. And so if Democrats are in control, that would put me in a chairship position, and we can do a lot with our ports, with our water, with our rivers, with our forests. I mean, there's a lot of things that, A, we want to protect, keep Oregon beautiful, and then also, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities, especially with these tribal co-management opportunities.
You know, during many of my interviews with Congressman DeFazio over the years, he was always a big proponent about talking about infrastructure, getting involved in that. And you obviously are trying to follow kind of in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just common sense. And that's why the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, it is the most functional committee in Congress. And working with the Department of Transportation, you know, now under Sean Duffy, previously under Pete Buttigieg, Democratic or Republican administrations, you know, we don't always agree, but we get to the brass tacks of getting things done, you know, keeping your roads open, you know, investing in bridges, in dams, in ports, especially where I represent 2/3 of the coast. Those are not partisan issues, you know, investing in water and sewer and things that smaller, especially rural communities can't afford to do on their own. That's something that really, really matters. Is it sexy? Is it going to get me, whatever, 10,000 likes on Twitter? No. But is it going to make a difference in the lives of the people I represent? Absolutely. So much like Peter DeFazio, I'm eminently practical, and I'm glad that I'm able to do this work.
You mentioned the potential for your party being back in power. What do you see there? Do you see the House going back to Democratic control as a result of the midterms?
Yeah, provided that we have, you know, free and fair elections, provided we certify the elections, that's everyone's expectation. And that's pretty normal. You know, when you have a president of one party in office, generally in the midterms, Congress will swing the other way. Voters, you know, will vote for those checks and balances. So that is my expectation. And I think there's some really good candidates out there.
Now, you mentioned wildfire concerns earlier. We've got the record low snowpack. We've got warmer temperatures, less rain than normal. What about concerns as well? I'm told the Forest Service is behind on wildfire mitigation projects this year. It really looks like it could be a very challenging fire season and one that's going to start probably earlier than normal.
Right. We are extremely concerned. You know, I live near the Mackenzie River, and I have never seen this river this low. And it's the lowest they've measured in, you know, since they've started taking measurements. We're at 5% snowpack. So, you know, wildfires are always a concern, but climate change is making it worse. And, we have really worked on, our community project funding to bring dollars to our local fire departments, wildland firefighting. We secured with Senators Wyden and Merkley $7.5 million in funds to make our communities more resilient. And as I mentioned before, I am very, very concerned about the Forest Service being reorganized and sidelined right before what we know will be a brutal wildfire season. And that's why I'm pushing for greater cooperation in our responses and land management between state, federal, tribal, and private entities to make sure that we can manage for that. But you know, we have to do something different. And I am really, really afraid of what's going to happen. We're going to be doing another sort of town hall with the fire marshal in Oregon, because that was really popular, on just how do you make sure that your home space is wildfire resilient. What do you pack in your to-go bag? You know, we all need to be prepared, because it's going to happen. And the other thing is, the vast majority of wildfires are started because humans were careless. And so we all have to take the responsibility to make sure that we're not starting wildfires.
And the $7.5 million you mentioned a bit ago, some of that coming to Douglas County to help the county with the communications and radio infrastructure and that kind of thing, which is something that's been a desire from the county officials for quite a while.
That's right. What I do is ask people in the community, what their priorities are. And in Douglas County, it is abundantly clear. They, you know, the leadership in Douglas County wants to see investment in the ability for their, you know, whether it's sheriffs or wildland firefighters or fire, you know, structural firefighters, for them to be able to communicate. And so we've brought money back for that. And then again, for Douglas County, it's water, sewer, and a lot of investments in that way. But public safety in Douglas County is a major concern. Also, again, I'll mention the Veterans Home. Cliff Bentz and I are working really, really hard to see what we can do to get that funded.
Yeah, a lot of people, that's one of the top questions I get asked around town, especially if somebody realizes that I'm interviewing you or Congressman Bentz or one of the senators, because that's been a definite desire for this area. And it's a process that amazingly began 15 years ago with the hopes that things would move forward then. And here we sit all that time later.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing. We lived, you know, I was born on an Air Force base because my father was in the Air Force. And, you know, our first housing when he was discharged was veterans housing. You know, he goes to the VA for his medical care. And these are benefits that he earned. And so if someone is willing to put their life on the line to protect and serve our community in our military, then they deserve to have the benefits that they earned. This is not a handout. And when I testified in front of the Appropriations Committee to talk about why this was so important, that's exactly what I said. It is time that we provide the benefits that these people earn and let them live out their lives in dignity. It is the least that we can do.
All right, wrapping up with 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle. If people want to connect more with you or your campaign, where's the best place to go to do that?
ValHoyle.com. So real simple.
All right, and do you anticipate being in the Umpqua Valley soon?
Yes, I'm not sure where, because we spent a lot of time on the coast this time around, but we'll be back, and when we are, we'll definitely swing by the office.
All right, 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
All right, take care, bye.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.